Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Thank you for coming out if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. If this is your first time with us, we just thank you for tuning in. My name is Wade, if you don't know my name. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll just get right into tonight's message. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word, share what you've laid on my heart this week. Father, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for what it is you have to say to us tonight, God. And I pray that you help us to receive it, and not only receive it, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember it and apply it to our lives, God, so that we can produce the fruit that your word brings in our lives. Lord, we just pray for all those that are still hurting because they've lost loved ones here recently. I pray that you comfort them. And Lord, I just pray for all the people that are at home because they're sick. I pray that you would comfort them as well. And please just bless the message tonight, Lord, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, we were talking about walking in the Spirit and how, in order to do that, we have to change the way we think. And the biggest thing that hinders us from walking in the Spirit is sometimes even after we come to Christ, we still have a worldly mindset or a fleshly mindset. So we have to learn to, like the Bible says, renew our minds and start, surrendering our will to God's and make the decision to follow His will instead of our own. And once we start becoming obedient to God's word, that is walking in the Spirit. We're doing the will of God instead of our own will. Like I said, until we come to Christ, all we have is our carnal thinking, our carnal mind to lead us and to guide us. But once we do come to Jesus and surrender to Him, we receive the Holy Spirit that enables us to change. You know, we talked about last week, if you have a hard time being obedient to God, there's nothing wrong with you. That's completely natural. That's the way we're born. It's not until we surrender to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that gives us the power to change, to be obedient. But we're the ones that have to make that choice. We have to make that decision to change. So walking in the Spirit don't come naturally. That's something we have to learn. It's natural for us to follow our sinful nature. So in order to walk in the Spirit, we got to be seeking God. We talked about that a lot last week. We need to be seeking Him, finding out what His Word says, and then choose to obey it, especially when it goes against, our carnal nature. Sometimes it's hard to obey because it goes against everything that comes naturally in us to be obedient to God. But when we make the choice to be obedient, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that, because before then, we weren't able to do that. So it is something that we learn. It don't come naturally to us. And that's why it's called growing in our faith. You know, Paul, I told you last week, he says when we first come to Christ, we are babes in Christ. And the more we're obedient to God's word, the more we grow in our faith. And we learn to submit, and we learn to be obedient, and we learn to walk in the Spirit, especially when we don't want to. And the more we obey, the more God changes our hearts and changes our desires. And as we do grow in our faith, our spirit becomes stronger than our old sin nature. And we become that new creation that we talked about last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And we talked about how that old thing was our old sin nature. The more we're obedient to God's word, we'll see less and less of that sin nature coming out of us, and more of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's how all things are become new, and that's how we become the new creature he's talking about in that verse. And once we get to that point, then it's no longer hard for us to do the right thing. That becomes our normal. You know, as our sin nature was our normal before Christ, the more we're obedient to Him, walking in the Spirit becomes our new normal. And that's what He means by we'll become a new creature. We're under the control of our spirit instead of our souls. And, you know, like I said, the Holy Spirit enables us to do God's will and not our own will. But we do have to learn it, and we do have to choose to be obedient to it. Tonight, I want to talk about a couple of things that kind of goes along with that, but I want to focus on our inheritance that we'll receive as followers of Christ. And I want to talk about leaving a legacy for the people in our life that we love. And those are two completely different things. One of our main scriptures for tonight is going to be in 1 Peter, it's a few verses, but it's still one scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 3 there says, he's begotten us again, or like we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, he quickens us, or he brings our spirit to life. He brings the Spirit of God to life inside of us when we come to Jesus. You know, we talked about that in Ephesians last week. And we're born again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks that in Christ, you know, we no longer have to fear death. We talked a lot about that 2 weeks ago. When Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death. And through our faith in him, he conquers death for us too. And through him, that's where our inheritance comes in. Through him, we inherit eternal life. And we call it salvation. We like to say when you come to Christ and you get saved and you receive the Holy Spirit, that is your moment of salvation, or the moment that you get saved. But it is through faith. It's our choice to follow Christ and surrender our life to him. Like it says in verse 5, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." But through the power of God, or you could say through the Holy Spirit, through our faith in Christ unto salvation, that is our inheritance. And the Bible says it is incorruptible. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, it is undefiled. There's no downside to it. Nothing bad comes with it. And it never fades away. It never gets old. It never gets corroded. Or, you know, we talked about how the things in this world, no matter what it is, as soon as you buy it brand new, it starts to deteriorate. But our inheritance that we have to look forward to from God, it never grows old, and it never loses its value. It is eternal. Most of the time when we hear the word inheritance, or we think of an inheritance, or that's what most of us think about anyway, is earthly things. You know, like our homes or our money or land or cars or houses or family heirlooms or, you know, a big bank account. That's what comes to mind most of the time when we think about inheritance. But that goes back to that earthly mindset that we were talking about last week. When God's talking about our inheritance, he wants us to think, you know, spiritually. He wants to think about heavenly thoughts about our inheritance, because that's where our inheritance is going to be. And, you know, it's good to be able to provide those things for your children or your grandchildren if you can, but it's far better, way better, to share with them the inheritance that God has for us. You know, those things are nice if you do have the opportunity to bless your children or your grandchildren or whatever it is with an inheritance. That is a good thing. But we should focus more on getting them to the point where they're going to receive the inheritance that comes from God, and not the one that this earth has to offer. You see it a lot today, especially around here in East Tennessee. You see people working their whole lives, long hours and saving and buying and building. A good example of that around here is all these old farms. You know, you've had generation after generation after generation working their fingers to the bone to build up a farm and keep the land, keep it in the family name. And then here recently, you know, the next generation, they don't have a desire to farm. You know, they don't, they could care less about farming. You know, they don't want anything to do with farming. And as soon as that person that has worked their whole life keeping the farm going, as soon as they pass away, then the people that inherit it, they turn around and sell it to the highest bidder and turn it into a subdivision. You know, you can see that everywhere around here. You can drive almost in any direction from here, and you won't have to go too far until you see a new subdivision. They're just popping up everywhere. And what meant the world to the person that was working that farm their whole life, you know, it don't mean a thing to the next generation. It don't mean the same thing to them. That's why you see estate sales going on constantly. Everything people work for their whole lives, you know, work their whole lives for, is just going to the highest bidder. And people that they don't even know wind up with the things that they thought were going to be so valuable to their family. And then once they're gone, they find out that they weren't valuable to them at all. They just want money they can get out of them. And that, to me, is what is so beautiful about the inheritance that God has for all of us. It means the same thing to you, to me. It means the same thing to all of us. You know, whereas one person might not like farming and he don't want to be a farmer, the inheritance that God has to offer us, we all want it. All of us who belong to Christ anyway. Here on earth, you know, inheritance is I'll enjoy this for a while, and when I'm gone, then I'm going to pass it on to you, and you can enjoy it for a while, and then you can pass it on to your children, and they can pass it on to their children, and so on and so on. But the Bible says that God's inheritance goes on for 1,000 generations, and that's just poetic talk about it'll never end. The inheritance we get from God don't have an end to it. You don't just enjoy it in your short life here on earth. You'll enjoy it for eternity. And if we're in Christ, it's the only inheritance that you're going to be able to enjoy together. You know, I don't get my turn with it, then you get your turn with it. You can actually enjoy that inheritance together. You know, I'll be able to enjoy my inheritance with my ancestors, you know, that lived way before I did, people I've never even met yet. And I'll be able to enjoy my inheritance with my descendants, you know, people that haven't even been born yet, you know, long after I'm gone from the earth and my descendants are born, I can still share my inheritance with them. As long as they're in Christ, we'll all, all of us will be together in the same inheritance God has for all of us. So we'll be able to enjoy it together. And, you know, inheritance on earth don't work like that. We read last week in 1 Thessalonians, I'll just share these couple of verses with you, just recap them. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, it's talking about people that have gone on to be with Jesus. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive are still here and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we'll be together with our loved ones, the ones that have already gone on in Christ, and the ones that are here already. And like I said, if we pass on before Christ comes back, the ones that will be born after us, then we'll be the ones coming with Christ. So either way, we'll all be together to share the same inheritance, and it'll be something that we all desire to have. And we'll be able to share that inheritance in real time together. We won't have that have to hope that the future generation will experience it. We'll be experiencing it with them. And we don't have to try to enjoy something left to us by a previous generation while we're sitting around missing them. You know, sometimes, even if they do leave something to us, we don't get any joy out of it, because every time we see that thing, it just reminds us of somebody that's not here anymore. But the inheritance that we get from God is not that way. That's something that we can share together, because we will be together with them. The only way we'll ever be able to enjoy a true inheritance or leave a true inheritance is to leave a legacy that leads them into the same inheritance that God has for us. You know, I said a minute ago that a lot of this new generation, they don't want anything to do with farming. So the only way we're going to be able to share that legacy, that inheritance with them, is to leave a legacy. And our legacy should be our faith in Christ. You know, if we lead the people in our lives into a relationship with Christ too, then their desires are going to be the same as our desires, and we'll desire the same inheritance. So we need to leave a legacy that leads them into the same inheritance that we're going to receive from God. We have to get our minds off of earthly things, like we talked about last week, and set our minds on things which are above. And I know this is the third week in a row, but I want to share these verses with you again, because I think they're important verses. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ," or if you've been saved, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory." I had a conversation with a guy a few days ago. You know, we were talking about people that are choosing to take their, you know, a good paying job over living for God. They choose to spend their time at work instead of spending their time at church. You know, they're turning down opportunities to serve God in order to go do their job because they're making so much money there. And we had a pretty long conversation about that. But, you know, they're making a fortune in the world's eyes, but they're going bankrupt, you know, when it comes to the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us to store up our treasures in heaven, you know. And during that conversation that we, you know, we were talking about that, you know, one day, we talked about it last week, one day you're going to stand before God, you know, whether he comes back or we die before he does, one day you will stand before God. And then, even if you're standing before God and you've got a pile of money this big, that's not going to impress God at all. He's not going to be impressed with that. The only thing that God's concerned about when we're standing in front of him is whether or not we're covered by the blood of Christ, whether or not we've received him as our Savior. And if we haven't, it don't matter what you own, how much you have. Without Christ, you have nothing in God's eyes. I want to read these verses to you out of Mark 8. Verses 34 through 38. And it says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also," and they're talking about Jesus, "he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And he's talking about, whoever chooses money over following me, you're going to lose your eternal life if that's all you follow. If you make your money, your possessions, all those things your God, then you're going to lose your life. You're chasing the wrong thing. But if you'll give up your rights to your life and surrender your life to him for his sake and the gospel's, the same shall save his life. you know, like it just said there in verse 38, if we care more about keeping up with world standards and keeping up with the Joneses, looking good in the world's eyes, than we do about serving God or getting to know Him and leading others to Him, then we're ashamed of Him, the Bible says. And He says, it's not me. Then He's going to be ashamed of us, you know, when we stand before the Father without Him. If we keep on reading there, you'll see what I'm talking about. In verse 36, it says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So, you know, that's not me saying that. That is Jesus saying that. If we're ashamed of him, or if we choose something over him, then he's going to be ashamed of us when we stand before the Father without him. Our relationship with Jesus has to be more valuable to us than anything that this world has to offer us. And if we truly want to leave an inheritance to the people we love, or leave a legacy that leads them into that inheritance, it has to be Jesus. It can't be anything else but Jesus. I want to share you another thing with you out of the book of Luke, chapter 12. Jesus is talking about this in verses 16 through 21. And it says, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's the way a lot of us do. You know, we get that better paying job. We get that all this money going into the bank, and we get the bigger houses, and we get all this stuff. And we're like, I don't have no need for anything else, you know. So take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. And then we go on to the next verse. And God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It don't say only he that lays up treasure for himself. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'm not saying that. But, and he goes on the next line, it says, and is not rich toward God. We need to keep our bank account with God balanced first, and then all that other stuff will come afterwards, because without God, none of that other stuff is going to do you any good. You know, I told you before, and a lot of people do, that they think they're going to miss out on something if they don't go and get it all they can get. But God don't want you to miss out on anything. He just wants you to to put him first, because he knows without him in the picture, if all we focus on is making more money and getting more stuff, then all that does is fund an ungodly lifestyle, because there's no way to live a godly life without God. So if we have all this money and no God in our life, all that's going to do is fund our ungodly lifestyle. It's just going to enable us to get further from him and deeper into sin. And I always tell you, you don't go anywhere by yourself. It's not only you, it's leading the people around you away from him too, because they will follow you. We all have a following, whether we recognize it or not, especially if you have children. If all they ever see you do is chase money, or, you know, choose things over God, put your job in front of God, or put material things in front of God, then they're going to grow up and they're going to do the exact same thing. Because in the end, it really don't matter what we tell them. They're going to do what we do. You know, like I said, God's not trying to keep you from anything. He's trying to protect us from harming ourselves or going the wrong way. And, you know, that's not on God. That's on us. I share this verse or these verses with you all the time in Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." You know, that's what I was talking about a minute ago. We talk about keeping up with the Joneses or trying to stay up to date in the world standards. You know, I got to have this, got to have that, got to have that. And then it says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things that you're worried about," he says, "shall be added unto you." You know, we talked about this last week. God knows you need that stuff, but put him first. Because without him, without the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the things the Holy Spirit provides, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And without self-control and a pocket full of money, you know, more money and more stuff, it's not going to help us. I've seen a lot of people actually wind up, it ruined them because they were doing better off without the money. You know, I knew a guy who won the lottery and he was doing fine before that. A year later, he was bankrupt, lost his house and everything else because it funded an ungodly lifestyle that he did not need. And, you know, like we read a minute ago, you'll start believing that you're self-sufficient. You don't need anybody else or you don't need God anymore until it's too late and you are standing before him empty-handed without Christ. You know, you might have that pile of money, but like I said, God's not impressed with our things. He's not impressed with our money. The Bible says when Christ does come back, the earth and everything in it is going to burn up. So we can't put our value on our stuff. We need to put more value on our relationship with Christ than we do anything here on this earth. I know I've shared with you before, and me and Kenny had a conversation about it last week. You know, the scariest words that I can think of, and I never want to hear them, are, you know, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And if we put things in front of God, you know, when we come before him, that's exactly what Christ said he'll say to us. He'll look at us and we'll either hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or we'll hear, you know, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I don't ever want to hear that. And I don't want my children or my grandchildren to ever hear that either. And the only way to avoid that is to be the example that we're supposed to be, to leave a legacy like I've been talking about, is to make Jesus Christ first in our life. You know, nobody's ever going to listen to what you say or listen to what you preach unless you're living it yourself. That's why the Bible says we have to change ourselves. We can't change other people. We have to be the example and make Jesus Christ first in our lives and let them see that nothing else comes before him. And also let them see that God's not holding out on us. He just wants to bless us in a way that don't harm us. I like the way Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 puts it. God will bless us. And it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." So like I said, God's not going to keep us from any good thing. His word says that. But the riches that we'll get doing it God's way don't lead to sorrow. It don't lead us to ruin. We don't wind up, you know, digging ourselves a pit and living an ungodly life because we chose this over God. We can have God and that, but we got to put God first. You know, there's nothing wrong with having money. I know a lot of rich Christians. I'm not preaching against money. I'm preaching against putting money or anything else in your life into a position where it's more valuable to you than your relationship with Jesus is. I know you've heard that verse a lot in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It don't say there's anything wrong with money. It just says the love of money is the root of all evil, you know. And it goes on, and it tells exactly what happens to us when we put those things above our relationship with Christ. It says, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. You know, if we put that above God, it causes us to stray in our faith, get off the path that we're supposed to be on, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. We wind up just like the prodigal son. You know, we thought all this money was going to help us. It was going to be the answer to our problems, and everything's going to be hunky-dory from here. But we'll do the same thing he did without God. We'll wind up in a pig pen and wishing we were back in our father's house. I'm sure you've heard me read before in John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. You know, if we're not connected to the vine, if we don't protect that relationship with him, he says, without me, you can do nothing. I think that's John 15, verse 5 or 6. I can't remember which one it is. But he's not saying that you can't make money. He's saying that that's not going to do you any good. It's not going to bring you the satisfaction that you're looking for. You know, I told you that for the last couple of weeks too. You know, we're not going to find the satisfaction that we're looking for here on this earth. It's not going to complete us and make us perfect like we like to trick ourselves into thinking. We can have a really good life and be a blessed life, but we have to put God first. If we don't, then it almost always ends in ruin. You know, Jesus loves us, and he wants what's best for us. And a lot of times we just don't know what's best for us, but God does. He sees further out than we do. And he just wants to spend eternity with us. And he knows without him in our lives, if we're not walking in submission to him, then we're not going to get to our inheritance. We're going to miss out on eternal life, and God don't want that to happen to us. But, like we've been talking about, walking in the Spirit is a choice. Putting Christ first in our life is a choice, too. We just read it, you know, Matthew 6:33. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things he will add unto us. And if we truly do that, that's all the protection that we need. If you think about it, and if you, you know, kind of step outside the picture and look at it from that point of view, if we just do that one thing, seek first the kingdom of God, that's all the protection that we ever need from doing anything that we're not supposed to do or going anywhere we don't need to go, making decisions that we don't need to make. If we'll just keep that verse in the back of our mind, then that'll protect us. No matter what we're doing, it don't matter what the situation is. You know, I'm not going to go to the liquor store while I'm seeking God and his righteousness. You know, I'm not going to gossip about my best friend if I'm seeking God and his righteousness. I'm not going to miss church because I have an opportunity to make some money on Sundays if I'm seeking God and his righteousness. You know, it sounds too simple, but that's the truth. I mean, if we're seeking God in all we do, then that by itself will guide us. That by itself will protect us from making bad decisions and doing bad things. You know, if I'm doing that, then I'm going to trust God at his word that he is my provider. And I don't have to miss church to make more money because I know God's going to take care of me even if I miss that and go to church like I'm supposed to. I'm not going to be in a relationship I shouldn't be in if I'm seeking God. You know, I tell you all the time that God's word is simple, and it really is. But we just have to obey it. And that's where the battle comes in. You know, am I going to do what my old nature wants me to do? Or am I going to surrender my will to his and be obedient to what God says to do? You know, James says in chapter 1, verse 22 of the book of James, it says, don't be doers of the word. Or be you doers of the word, not hearers only. It don't do us a bit of good to come to church and learn all these verses and then go be disobedient to them. You know, James says that's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. You know, when you turn around and walk off. It's good to memorize verses. I'm not saying that's not good, but they only work when we obey them. You know, Josh hit on that Sunday. I think he used verse 14 out of chapter 1 of James. It says, but when we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. You know, when we're tempted by things of the world, and if we have to walk outside of God's will to get those things, then, you know, that's not God tempting us. That's us drawing ourselves away by giving into our own will instead of doing the will of God. So we've got to get to the point where when we are tempted, we make the choice quickly. I learned that early in my life when I first came to Christ. If I don't make it quick, I'll talk myself out of it. So we got to, when the temptation comes, we got to make that choice quick. You know, if God's word says no, it's no. You know, I can't debate with myself. I have to just obey God, no questions asked, because if I debate with myself, I can talk myself into anything. And if you're anything like me, you can too. I think we all can. And that's why God's word has to make the decisions in my life, not me. You know, if I left all the decisions up to me, I'll be right back to the shape I was in, or worse, probably worse. So if we want to leave an inheritance, we have to share our inheritance while we're here. Not something that we hoard up and hoard up until we die and then hope somebody does good with it once we're gone. If we're going to leave a legacy, it has to be our faith in Christ. And we have to do that while we're still here. You know, once we're passed on or Jesus comes back, then it's too late to share our faith. This is the only opportunity we have to share our faith. This is the only day that we're guaranteed to be here. So today is the day we need to be sharing our faith and sharing our legacy. You know, it can't be my will. It has to be the Spirit of God in us, guiding us and leading us and pouring out of us, Jesus said, into those around us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, it enables us to share the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the kindness. You know, all those are the things that lead others into a relationship with Jesus. You know, not money. Money don't give them eternal life. They're not things. You know, a house, even though it'd be nice to give somebody a house, that don't lead them to eternal life. No matter what we leave them that's here on earth, it's not going to lead them to eternal life. But our faith in Christ can do that. So like I said, if we're going to leave a legacy, you know, our obedience, whether we know it or not, that produces obedience in those around us. Like I said, people, you have a following. You might not see it, but they're there. So if we're being obedient, that produces obedience in the people around us. If we're, you know, if we're loving, that produces love in the people around us. And those are things that we can enjoy together now. We don't have to wait on somebody to die to inherit it. We can enjoy those things together now. And we can look forward to sharing those things with each other forever, like we talked about to start with. You know, for the last few weeks, too, we've been talking about, you know, we can't fight evil with evil. That just produces more evil. And we can't fight a fire by putting wood on it. Like Proverbs says, it's talking about gossip. You can't put a stop to gossip with more gossip. So, but we can't change the world with earthly things. But we can change the world, like I've been saying, especially our world. You know, my little circle around me, or your little circle around you, we can change our world around us by seeking God first, putting God first in our lives. Jesus said, he told that woman at the well, you know, out of you will flow rivers of living water. You can't help but produce fruit if God is first in your life. If you're being obedient to God, it's not something that we do. It's not a work that we do. It's a work that God does in us. You know, when we're being obedient to Him, our spirit gets stronger and stronger. And like Jesus told that woman at the well, the more we're obedient and the more submissive we are to God, then those things just start flowing out of us. It becomes, like I said a while ago, our new natural. That's our new nature. It just comes out of us just as easy as lying and cheating and stealing came out of us before Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 is where Jesus tells us to don't lay up treasure for yourselves here on earth, where the moss and the rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if we really start focusing on our inheritance that God has for us, and we want others to be there with us, that'll lead us to leading a more godly life, because we'll try to be that example so others can follow us, so that they'll be there too. And we'll talk a little bit more about that last week. You know, my papa, he passed away a long time ago. I can't remember how many years it is. My mom's dad, I can't remember how many years it was, but I've never heard anybody say not one bad word about him. He was just like super honest. He was honest to a fault. If he just thought that you thought he cheated you out of $5, you know, he would he'd come and give you $5 whether he did or not. You know, he was just that way. He was just super honest. And like I said, your children are going to follow you. They're going to be like you are, you know, and all of his children. They're the same way. They're honest to a fault too. They're just like it. So if we want to leave a legacy, then we have to be that. You know, before Christ, I was a drunk. And, you know, my daughter started out and she was going to wind up being a drunk. You know, she started out her adult life, you know, doing drugs and drinking and stuff. But when I came to Christ, then I wasn't even around. We weren't around each other. But when I came to Christ and started living for God, my daughter came to Christ. Now she's living for God. So, you know, if we want to leave a legacy, if we want to leave an inheritance to our kids and our loved ones, we have to live it ourselves. We'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You know, it says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And, you know, that's our hope. So that's our lively hope. And if we want that for our loved ones, if we want that inheritance, that in the next verse, I think it's verse 4, it says, You know, our inheritance is pure. It's undefiled. It's incorruptible. It never fades away. We have to put Christ first in our life. We have to be the example to lead others to that. You know, we don't have to fight our sin. I spent years fighting my sin. If we just follow him and obey him, then like I've been saying, that sin will just slowly, it'll just fall off like the scales off of Paul's eyes. You know, the more we follow Christ, the less there will be of that. The more obedient we'll be and the more natural that will become. And we'll find out that we don't have to fight the sin. We don't have to try to overcome it. All we have to do is focus on God and follow him. And that stuff just fades away. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to overcome it. We don't have to conquer it. Christ does that for us while we're following him. All we have to do is follow him and obey him. And, you know, that's where the choice comes in. We can't follow him and sin at the same time. As soon as you follow Christ, all the people around you, like I said, are going to start following him too, if you're genuine in your faith. You know, just like all my papa's children, they're just like he was. They're, I mean, carbon copies of him. And just like my daughter, she was going down the bad road I went down, and now she's going down the good road that I'm going down. So if we want to leave a legacy, if we want to leave an inheritance, that is the best one. You know, that we can leave them. So that's what I want to talk about more next week. I don't have time tonight, but next week we'll talk about being that example and, you know, being that ambassador that God calls us to be, unless God changes my direction. But if you don't, next week, that's what we're going to talk about. And most of it's going to be based on this verse out of Proverbs chapter 25 and verses 9 and 10 in the NLT. It says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. He's saying, be genuine in your faith. If you're going to call yourself a Christ follower, then be honest. Be who you say you are. Otherwise, others may accuse you of gossip and you'll never regain your good reputation. You know, we can be a plumber all day long or a mechanic or whatever, and it's a whole lot harder to ruin your reputation as a plumber as it is a Christian. You know, once you tarnish your name as a Christian, then that is really hard to repair because hardly anybody's going to believe you from that point forward. So next week, hopefully, if God don't change my message, that's what we'll be talking about. But that's all I've got for this week on our inheritance. I hope this message this week has given you a new outlook on what's important to pass on to our loved ones, or, you know, leave an inheritance to somebody. But I always want to share this with you at the end of the message. You know, Jesus said, go forth and preach the gospel. And this is the gospel, that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, to save us from the penalty of our sins and to give us eternal life. So if you've never done that and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. And it's really simple. You know, I try to share these verses with you every week. But in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you've never done that, and you trust that Jesus did go to the cross for your sins and died for you and rose again the third day, and if you're doing that today, then the Bible says tell somebody about it. Confess it with your mouth and tell somebody, I've surrendered my life to Jesus today. And with your confession, you're saved. You receive salvation. And I always tell you too, it don't matter what your past is, because verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. It don't matter what your past was or what you've done. Nobody is too far gone for Christ to save you. So if you haven't done that yet, I urge you to do that. It'll be the best thing you ever do. And once you do that, then the Holy Spirit will show you the next step. And if you need somebody to walk along with you on that, or somebody to talk to about that, you're more than welcome to come here. There's people here that'll be glad to talk to you and explain things to you and help you start your new journey in Christ. But thank y'all again for coming out. And thank you again for tuning in online. If you're watching online, let me pray for us and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for just helping me get up here and preach your word, Lord. And Father, I just pray that everybody that heard it with just open hearts and open minds, God. And I pray that you help us to receive your word and actually apply it to our lives, God. And I pray that it'll bring much glory to you, Father, and increase to your kingdom. Please be with us as we go home, Lord, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.